You may never look your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our very special guest, Mr. Dave Hodges, a guy that I would not mind being in a fox in a trench with, fighting side by side. He's got, to me, he's a man of integrity. He's shown his integrity. He's shown his knowledge, the depth of his knowledge, and the reach of not only his program, but when he comes on ours, collectively, together, we're working to expose the machinations and the nefarious deeds of the global power elite. And I just want to give him a big thank you on air for taking part in this. And I know with this exposure, folks, and you can minimize it, and I don't want to overstate it, but you can minimize it, and you can say, well, if it was that, you know, if this information was that critical, well, they wouldn't let you talk about it. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not that cut and dry. You have to look at this. It's like chess at three levels, and that's, I've always used that that explanation, and sometimes they cannot stop you, or they can't stop you before it's too late. So keep Dave Hodges in your prayers. If you like his work, and I think everyone likes his work, definitely support him. Support Dave Hodges. Go to the Common Sense Show and make sure that you express your gratitude and support him. Before we get back to Dave Hodges, you know, we talk about all of this really critical stuff going on in the media. Folks, let me ask you, do you feel overwhelmed and overstressed by these headlines, these topics we talk about? Well, there's an answer. Most people do. There's an answer. We've got an answer for you. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, there you can take a look. And I would urge everyone to go to WholeTonesLive.com WholeTonesLive.com. And take a look at the various research done by Michael Terrell. He's the founder and creator of WholeTonesLive.com, and he has created a number of just beautiful recordings, music of King David, or inspired by the keys of King David. Now, this is biblical. This is not New Age. This is biblically sound, Bible-based frequency, and we know that frequencies can affect your moods. Frequencies can assist in your healing. It can calm the savage beast in you, or it can energize you, make you more creative. And we've gotten a lot of emails from people who are clients of Whole Tones, customers who have purchased their DVD packages, and we play them here at the office. Depending on if we're stressed, we play a certain DVD that we play the transformation one. Or if we need creativity, there's another. At night, my wife has playing in the background the disc that really is good for sleep. And I can tell you this, between the Casper mattress and the Whole Tones music, both my wife and our dog, Studio Dog Lady, four paws up, both on the mattress in celebration of the music. WholeTonesLive.com. What a great product it is. Try it out. WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTones with a W. W-H-O-L-E, ToneslLive.com. And once again, folks, we're so blessed to have with us Dave Hodges, TheCommonSenseShow.com. Please bookmark his website. Tomorrow he's got just a tremendous article coming out. We're going to be talking about that momentarily. Dave, when we were right before the break, you were talking about leaving the country. And personally, I'm just going to admit this to everyone. I don't believe there's any place that we can run, we can hide, we can take refuge anywhere else. And personally, I'm committed to stay here in America and fight on the front lines until I'm out of breath. And that's what I believe God has instructed me to do. That's my personal preference and position. Because again, I don't know anything about the mountains of Peru or wherever one might tend to go. But that's just me. So go ahead and finish that thought that you were talking about before the break.
I was mentioning Jonathan Underwood and a great voiceover talent here. And he gave a talk at Freedom's Phoenix run by Ernie Hancock, a great activist group here in Phoenix. And people can visit the website of freedomsphoenix.com. I love Ernie. He brings in the best people for these once-a-month meetings, and occasionally he lets me talk. But Jonathan told about why he was leaving and his journey and how he was doing it. And he managed to get most of his money out, but there's a trick to it. And it's actually led to a cottage industry now where if you can find the right people, you can probably get about 90% of your money out. But the feds are really coming after people. You've almost got to set the bank account up ahead of time, and you're better off taking it to one bank in a country you can trust and have them transfer it to the country that you're going to move to. Because if you go directly from here to that country, they're going to be watching you like a hawk. And if you've got airline tickets there, you know, they're going to try to get what they're going to get. You know, they don't want you to leave with your money because they think it's their money. So that's something that I probably should revisit this and talk about this. Now, I do think it makes sense for some people to leave. From a business standpoint, if you're upper middle class and you don't have a tax haven, you know, like so many of the globalists do, and you're paying the highest corporate tax in the world, it could make economic sense for you to go. You just got to do it the right way. It's like taking your money out of the bank. You go try to take all your money out of the bank, you're going to go to jail. There's an art form to doing it, and I've written a lot of articles on that you can find at the Common Sense Show. Doug, I'd like to mention something, too, and it's kind of like along the lines of raising awareness. I have been looking at Scene.life, which is the Patriots version of Facebook. And I've been looking, I know the owners of this and how they've set this up, and I've agreed to become their national spokesperson now. And here's why I support this. Personally, I don't think I need to have a necessary social media form of community. You know, I'm kind of out there on the front lines, and, you know, I like to think I have a fair idea of what's going on. But there are millions of people who are new to the movement, and there's many ways into the house of understanding the New World Order. And people come to us at various levels of understanding, and we need social media, particularly for the young people, for the people under 40. We need to have a social media platform, and this is what Scene.life promotes. And it's people coming in, and they can read what I write. I write all my articles and post them on the Common Sense Show at Scene.life. And we have lots of really good writers there, like Lisa Haven does the best videos out there. And people can come in, I think, with kind of grassroots knowledge, not real sophisticated yet, kind of like I was 10 years ago, and really become educated. And it's free. They don't sell your stuff unlike Facebook. They don't have assassinate Donald Trump pages like Facebook. They won't ban you for writing about Hillary Clinton. But I can tell you that people that visit my site on Scene.life at the Common Sense Show, they are very sophisticated in some cases, and in other cases, they're new to the movement, but they're sick of what's going on. And it gives me an opportunity to say, well, here's been my experience. And I've already seen productive inroads made. So that's why I wanted to talk about that for a second.
Sure.
I think it's critical we have social media that we control. And, oh, by the way, did you see Zuckerberg came out today and attacked Trump again?
Yes.
It just, you know, you need to cancel your subscription to Facebook. And let me tell you what Steve Quayle said on one of my interviews I did with him probably a couple of years ago. And Steve said, you are crazy if you're on something like Facebook, because you bring in North Koreans or Chinese occupation troops, and there is a woman shortage in both countries. Where are they going to find women? And that's what Steve was talking about once on the show. And, you know, I never had considered that until Steve said it, but right on the money, Steve. And you need to get out of Facebook, and you need to get into something else. It's just,
I've never seen, Dave, we're not too far off in age, you and I, but I've never seen any generation or any, what's this need to tell everyone everything about you, and who reads that? I mean, I don't care. Look, I don't care what my neighbor had for lunch. I don't care what my neighbor's. I mean, sorry, I just don't have the time for that. But these people today are so mindlessly put everything that they do on Facebook or on some social media platform.
You know what I think it is, though, Doug? We are conditioned as a population that you're not talented, you're scum, and God endowed us with great talents. And I think that the mission of life, the goal of life, is to find out what you're good at, and then your objective should be to give that gift back to the world. Because God gave us all wonderful talents, different from one another. And what the media does, it so castrates us mentally, and it takes away your belief in yourself and your own volition to make a difference in the world. And if you just look at the scriptures, you know, faith can move mountains and so forth, and that's all taken away from us. This is why Christians are being marginalized. They don't want us to know that these powers, you know, under the great creator exist. And I think that we have people who have low self-esteem. Like Charles Dickens said, I think it was Dickens, he said that most men, most men lead lives of quiet desperation, and meaning you don't accomplish anything in life because you've never been taught to believe in yourself. You've been taught that the elite are the elite, they're smarter than you, they're better looking than you, they'll always be richer than you, and they're lucky to let you live and have a job. And we're so marginalized psychologically that I think that the social media gives people to say, hey, here I am, notice me, I count for something. And I think that's the real attraction. I'm trying to turn that aspect into, hey, notice what's going on, folks. Okay, our humanity is at stake right now, and we need to band together.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, people are looking for this approval from other people. And I think that's a collateral effect of lacking the spirituality, the necessary spirituality that we do lack. And it's taking a step back. It's part of it's a consequence of the prosperity movement, where you've got the mega churches preaching the prosperity gospel as opposed to the true word of God. So, I mean, right. It's a spiritual problem at its root.
And that's where this fear stuff comes in for people. You know, it's very easily spelled out in the Bible that all who believe in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and hard times and go through tribulation. And when people are told about this tribulation, they equate it to fear porn. And the tribulation could be the news of something that's happened or something that is in the works. And it is a spiritual issue at its root, and it's a personal spiritual issue.
Yeah, I'll give you fear porn, Joe. If Christ hadn't risen 3 days after the crucifixion, that's fear porn.
Yep.
That's scary to me. Humanity would have been lost forever. And the wages of sin is death. That would have been carried out for each and every one of us. So if people want to throw allegations at us about fear porn, just look into the Bible. The Bible's telling you can be a very scary world. This is why people who, you know, listen to me, don't think I carry out my life like this, okay? I mean, I take my family out to eat. We go to the movies. We engage in activities. My son's involved in a million things that I support. I leave this stuff aside. When I fight the battle, I'm fighting the battle to win. I'm not in this just to make noise and draw attention to myself. but there are times when you need to walk away from it. But people need to realize that we're in a scary battle right now. The people who are coming against us are the Satanist cabal. They worship Lucifer. They hate Christians. They want all of us dead. And that's scary stuff, and this is in the Bible. This isn't anything that Doug and Joe and Dave are making up. It's what our Holy Bible tells us is out there. And the Bible calls on us, and I think myself as a man, to be a man. Stand up for what you know is right. Fight for God. Be a Christian soldier. And I try to listen to what God wants me to do, and I know I'm right where I need to be. I'm doing what He wants me to do right now. But, guys, you know, if this is too fearful for you, I understand that. I don't judge you. I do not judge you at all. I understand how scary this is. And that's why sometimes the fighting needs to be left to the people who are willing to suffer the consequences. And if that's not who you are, God's not going to judge you. But please get yourself ready spiritually. Get yourself ready physically, because bad days are coming. So let us do the fight if that's your mindset. But please prepare for your family.
Amen to that. And if I can ask one related question to this, because we get this a lot. Are your family members, Dave, I mean, what is it, like a salesman in their own town, in their own family? If you, let's say you've got an insurance license to sell life insurance or whatever, as an example, generally speaking, or you're a stockbroker, your family may not they may not go to you for stock advice or insurance advice because they know who you are. So let me ask you this. Are people in your family, are they gravitating toward you now more today than they have in the past? Or do you still see this pushback?
Yeah, but it's still a case of two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's scary. Listen, that's why I see the fear, and I understand the fear. And my son is around enough to know, and he sees this on his own. I mean, he sees the stuff being talked about in the campaign, and he's a bright kid. And I've explained to him honestly about free trade agreements and how illegal immigration and these poor people are being used to take down America. They don't want to be used that way, but they're being used. And I've had to explain that to him. But I also tell him, this is for us to fight. You just need to do your job, go to school, get good grades, you know, become a good person. You know, let us do what we need to do. And I don't think the battlefield really needs to call children to it. With spouses, it's a tough thing. I mean, when I really started to get involved in this, when McCain and his globalist friends were trying to steal my property 13 years ago, and I started connecting it to all these other things that were really bad, my wife, part of her said, "Oh my God, my husband lost his mind. He's overreacting. He's just so upset with everything that's going on and how we could lose our home." She's come to the party, but she's not comfortable at the party. And I appreciate that with her. But she sees it. You know, she used to say to me, and this goes back years, she said, "It's kind of doom and gloom, don't you think?" And I said, "Yeah, you're right. Let's sit down and watch a half hour of news together." And I said, the difference between people like, you know, Doug, Joe, myself, Steve, John B. Wells, Ted Brewer, is that we're going to give you the truth as we see it. And you could put the moniker on it of doom and gloom, but we honestly try to give you solutions, too. We try to prepare people. It's not just disseminating negative information. We generally end up trying to come together and saying, here's how we think you should deal with this, or have you thought about this? Not telling people what to do, but trying to give people options on what to do. And I asked my wife, I said, "Where do you see this in the news? This guy kills this guy, and this guy is corrupt about this, and there's cheating in soccer and FIFA." And it kind of gives you the time frame we had this discussion. And she said, "You're right." And I said, "We have a message of hope through Jesus Christ that is a lot louder than what you're getting on TV here. These people are looking at the world as one big cesspool if you did nothing but watch news." In fact, actually, there's a guy out there, and he's written all these self-help stuff, and he told people when he used to get clients, he'd tell them to stop watching the news for 3 months. And because it would depress them and would depress their immune system, and people couldn't feel empowered to do what they need to do. And this is why they do the news the way they do. We're out of control. We're not self-empowered. We have an external locus of control, not an internal locus of control. And just shut up, sit down. The elite will take care of you. The Republicans will choose candidate on one side, and the Democrats will choose the candidates on the other. And you need not worry about that.
Okay. Very interesting. The mindset we're talking now about people and about really the, you call it a tipping point as well. And I'll just kind of nudge into that. You know, more people are waking up. More people are seeing what's going on. And I think more people are now looking at the current events through biblical prophecy as well, which I just want to make sure people know that we're looking at this in the larger, you know, view from space and through biblical prophecy. And it's not that we can stop prophetic events. We don't want to do that. But certainly we can mitigate our own personal exposure to.
God gives us latitude. He gives us free will. And by logic, if he gives us free will, he gives us the ability to impact some of what's going on. Now, I know some people aren't going to like what I say, but I don't think the end times have to necessarily be now. Do I think it's going to happen that way? I mean, I think that's probably a real good chance. But if we collectively discovered our Christian roots as a nation, I believe God would once again honor us, and we would stop being a nation under judgment, because God honors good decisions in his name. And we might be able to push this back to a far later time. And I think that's the beauty that God gives us with free will, that our actions can make a difference. Now, ultimately, is John going to be right about Revelations? No question. Right. Do I think it's going to happen in the near future? I think there's probably a better than even chance it's going to happen. But Dave Hodges says, I've been put on this battlefield to make a difference. And I only know how to fight a battle one way. I'm sorry, I grew up an athlete, and then I was a coach. And I only understand that my action should culminate in winning if I'm going to engage the enemy. And these people are your enemy. Right. I'm not engaging the enemy just to expose them. I'm engaged in this because I want to defeat them. I want to expose their Satanism, their criminality, so people aren't drawn to them.
Well, it's our duty, I believe, as Christians, to expose their works of darkness. And if we're not doing that, at least in my case, because everyone's instructions, I believe, are different. I don't read your emails from God, so to speak. And forgive me, I mean no. I'm not trying to be funny about this. I mean, you've got a mission. I've got a mission. We work together in that. And sometimes they overlap, sometimes they don't. But the fact is, man, we have to expose this. It's our job, not only as Christians, but in the journalists as well, or investigators, or whatever your position might be. Now, I don't know if this is a good time to get into this or not, but... Yesterday, during our program, I was talking about having contact again with a former source from the DHS. If you didn't catch yesterday's program, you can do that, folks. But you, kind of at the same time, I think, and I don't want to speak out of school. I'll let you talk about this, but it seems like...
No, you're speaking right on target.
Okay.
It is amazing how the synchronicity of our mission sometimes, you know, combine and come together. You know, just to go back, and I wrote about this today in this morning's article. I used to be a Maricopa County first responder back in the 90s, and they came to the campus I was working at and said, if you volunteer, your family will get the drugs for the chemical, the biological first, blah, blah, blah. I thought, well, that's a pretty good reason. And I also wanted to be part of the solution. And then FEMA came in and took it over in the transition period. I got to know one individual extremely well, and I got to know the family extremely well. And to cycle forward to, this is back in the 90s, but cycle forward to October of 2012. This was the last year I was coaching college basketball, and they went and waited for me by my office door on campus, and I come walking off the floor into our offices area, and there they were. And I was, wow, this is interesting. What do I owe this to? So we went in the office, and this was about 7 o'clock at night, and I probably should have gone out and done some recruiting that night, but instead we were there until 2 a.m. And they were telling me about how they were bugging out, and I knew something was going on because I knew some of the kids, and I'm going to be careful about expressing that, but one of the kids told me, Dad's been speaking to people from FEMA and DHS he hasn't seen in years. He told me he had early retired. I knew he was thinking about it. And he said, we've been preparing a community for years with like-minded people because of what's coming. And what's coming is total martial law subjugation. And his deal was chemical, anti-chemical and biological attacks, as well as other things. And he said, we're going to see the full meal deal. They will do whatever they have to do to subjugate us. And he kind of laid out a schematic order of things. If this doesn't work, then they'll go to B, they'll go to C. And he, this is what, why we were there until the middle of the night. And he said, I'll be gone in 2 months. And he said, I don't know if I'll be communicating with you. I heard from him once about 3 years ago, and I talked to the family recently, and he called me, and he said to me, are you ready? Do you feel you're ready? And I said, I think I'm reasonably ready. I said, but, you know, you never know until it hits. You know how fluid the battlefield is. But I said, I'm in a pretty good area. My neighbors are aware. A lot of them listen to the show. They're well-armed. They're well-stocked with food and water and so forth. So I said, and there's only one way in and one way out in my remote community. So I said, I think we're okay, but, you know, you can't control all the variables. And he just said, you don't have long, Dave. He said, I know I told you back in 2012 it could be 2 to 3 years, and we're beyond that. But he said, the signs are unmistakable. And he says, I'm kind of circling back to people that have been important to me and telling them, if you've let preparation go by the wayside, it's time to restart, and you need to restart it with a frenzy. In other words, you know, you don't have a lot of time. He said, with these meetings going on, he said, we really don't know how immediate their plans are going to be put into action, but he said they could be pretty darn quick. And there are people where they have these underground structures where they live with their portable air filtration, water filtration, they're armed to the teeth. He said, we're ready. He said, we're ready as we're going to be. And he also told me, too, that he would never, you know, live in society. And I said, why? He said, because we know where the bodies are hidden. He said, if the other side loses, they need us dead so we can't testify against them. So that was his motivation for leaving. I don't know if you ever heard that from your source, but he's come out at the same time as Rosebud did for you. And it was a very generic warning, Dave, just get ready. And I asked him, what form is it going to take? And he said, you know the answer to that question. They have plans, top of plans on top of scenarios. And depending how events unfold, they're going to follow a different schema. And that makes perfect sense to me. So for me to say they're going to do A and then B, but if you do C, you'll be okay, I just think a general sense of preparation is how people should approach this.
You know, we agree wholeheartedly on this. And I don't think, folks, I don't think of that there's a subject right now that's, number one, perhaps more relevant than this that we're talking about. And number two, that we're giving you the, to me, one of the best investigative reporters, journalists right now in the new media, in the primary media that is our media, is Dave Hodges. And there's no false flattery here. That's just a fact. Because I've followed your work. I've compared your sources to mine. We're getting a lot of the same information. So the takeaway for the listeners tonight, and I'm getting this stirring in my spirit. I've had a stirring in my spirit, especially over the last week or so. Let's prepare. Let's get going here because the time is short. I do see things popping up, and this has been intimated by my source. With the arm's length now from the DHS brass, but yeah, there's something changed recently. There's been this acceleration. Do you think it's because maybe that Obama knows he's running out of time, or that the powers behind Obama knows that Obama's running out of time? And do you think that, what's your gut telling you? And by the way, we do know. I just want to make this clear. Neither one of us, Dave Hodges does not have a crystal ball, nor do we. However, we have a lot of good reasoning abilities and a lot of good research experience, as well as good sources. But, okay, so now that I went all over the place, Dave, I'm going to kick it back to you. And I guess, are we looking at something that's potentially like on the event horizon, like right there?
Yeah, I think depending on what happens with Trump and that movement. I remember in 2011, Brzezinski said the people are waking up, and Hillary Clinton said we're losing the info war, and Brzezinski made that famous quote, it used to be easier to control a million people rather than kill them, and he reversed himself on that. I think that genesis of thinking started, 5 years ago, and now we're seeing their desperation come to the forefront. I think they miscalculated Trump. I really do. I think that they thought Trump would be a distraction away from Hillary Clinton's abject criminality, and she would somehow slip through and they would get her in to the Oval Office, but they underestimated Donald Trump. and now they're trying to feverishly stop the enemy at the gate, so to speak, because our awareness is the enemy at the gate. You know, Karl Marx writes this, and no, I'm not a communist, but he's absolutely right. Before every revolution, there's a shift in consciousness. And Donald Trump has brought a shift of consciousness, and the rest of us, the Hagman & Hagman Report, the Common Sense Show, SteveQuayle.com, Ted Brewer, and Health Mass, all of us are happy to be the recipients of new people coming to the movement. And they weren't counting on this. They totally blew it. Right. And this is why you saw, you know, Fox conducting these just bogus presidential debates where the moderators were actually the participants. It was almost comical because it was like, oh, my God, what did we do? We let loose the genie and we can't get it back in the bottle. And that genie is still spreading. They can kill Donald Trump tomorrow. And this movement's not going to stop. I'm convinced of that. I go back to something I talked about on your show the last time I was on, that there's a social psychological organization called SNAP, and they do research about how trends and fads take fire and really take off. And they say the common characteristic is when a movement gets 10% of the common, gets 10% of the support of the population, and they're fervent in their beliefs and so forth, and that's when you start to see exponential growth in people following something. Well, we're beyond the 10%, folks. And if they kill Trump, and see, I think this is what they know, it'll take that to the 100th power. They'll instantly, people who are kind of on the fence about Trump, they go, well, if they killed him, he must have been right. And that'll bring a whole new set of people who are on the fence about Trump. And this is why I think they haven't killed him. This is why I'm saying, what are their options? This is why I go back to the false flag in Cleveland. I mean, I think that they blame it on ISIS and Obama, but we're here to protect everybody. We're all Americans. God bless the dead Republicans. We need to get behind Hillary, blah, blah, blah. And then this is what I think is a real possibility. And people say, that's really far out. Okay, what would you do if you were them to stop this truth movement? You can only subjugate people for so long when you keep them in the dark. And the light has come on.
Think about
and
that, folks.
I mean, one other thing I'd say, too, Doug, we talked about preparation here. I just want to make sure I say this. This life is temporary. I love this life. I love the things I get to do. I have a blessed life. I don't spend all my time on the Common Sense Show website. But I will tell you, even though this life is temporary, forever, the afterlife is forever. And I think people need to approach it that way. So people say, aren't you afraid, Dave? Yeah, I think about those things some, but I don't think about them a lot because I think God's will is going to be carried out. And if it's my time to go, then it's my time to go. But I also know that I think I've got myself right with my Maker, as right as I can in my imperfect way. And I know that the next life is going to be a lot better than this life. And that's where I'm trying to keep my eyes on.
You know, that's so important because when we talk about this, and I would say this, we a little bit ago we were talking about that old pejorative phrase, fear porn and doom porn, and I've been hearing a lot of this from Christians who are saying, well, you know, all you do, meaning us, all you've been doing is talking about this, so you can sell your gold, which we don't sell, or you can sell your whatever, okay, which we've got nothing to sell. But that said, that reflects to me, that tells me we've got more work to do, because people with that kind of mentality, at least this is my personal viewpoint, they are weak in their faith, because if this can shake their faith, because I know when I die, because being saved, and sometimes I don't like to even use that terminology because to me I think it's used too much, but because I have committed my life and I know where I mean I've committed my life, I've committed my soul, so I guess okay, I'll say I'm saved. I know what's going to happen. So I don't mind talking about this and knowing where I will end up, regardless of how I might die, if I pass away in my sleep or get hit by a bus or get decapitated by ISIS, regardless. But let me just say this. To those people who do accuse us of saying that for profit and personal gain, I think you, folks, the ones that are making those accusations, are doing the body of the church a disservice. And I think you are exhibiting that you are weak in your faith. But, okay, so I wanted to say that for
reasons. Amen to that. Because what they're doing is they're minimizing the power of God that can manifest through all of us.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so we are all, just so the listening audience knows, and we've got a vast listening audience, and hello to the listeners, by the way, in Australia. We've got a number of live listeners there right now. But, you know, this is where we're coming from. And thank you for being a staunch supporter of Dave Hodges to our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, support Dave Hodges in the Common Sense Show.
We have actually a listener question for you, Dave. This is from Christina H. And she says that she's read your articles on suspicious activity reports and wanted to know if cashing checks from different individuals would end up causing suspicion. She goes, totaling close to the threshold SARs are normally filed against people, or is it just withdrawing cash?
I think both Dave Hodges and I have got SARs filed against us, I believe. I have.
Yeah, listen, to answer your question, though, Joe, we have a lot of smaller checks that we take to our business account, and we've never had a problem. The problem is that you're trying to make a sizable cash withdrawal. Now, according to the law, if you take out $10,000, you have to file a cash transaction report. And if they don't like what they see, they file a suspicious activity report called an SAR. And they went after me at Bank of America for trying to take out $1,500, which is 15% of the report requirement, which was totally ridiculous. And I was able to talk my way through that with the guy. But no, I think that she's probably fine. The one thing I tell people is this, is that, you know, your cash in the bank is soon going to be gone. And let me point to two things. November 10th of 2014, the same Janet Yellen that's meeting with political leaders met with the Bank of England and other people connected to banking and government on both sides of the pond, and they practiced for widespread bank failures. 10 days later in Brisbane, Australia, in the G20, that's when they made the rule that said that when you deposit your money, it's no longer money. And they also said anyone who's in line for credit swap derivatives reimbursement, like the big banking houses that lost their backsides, they go to the top of the distribution list, and you are called an unsecured creditor, and you go to the bottom. And people need to know the FDIC only has 1.2% of the cash on hand to cover the bank accounts out there. You won't see a dime once the trouble starts. Now, if they're afraid of revolution, they may take 40% of your money initially, but ultimately they're going to take all of it. And what I tell people is you need to have gold. And listen, I've bought gold. I put my money where my mouth is. I have no one that advertises on my website that I don't believe that my listening audience and my reading audience will benefit from taking advantage of these products, because the smoke will clear from an economic collapse. It's not going to be a permanent situation. And when it clears, what has historically held its value? Gold. So I sell Steve Quayle's gold. Why Steve Quayle? Because I trust the man. We have a business relationship. He strong arms nobody into the deal. He's advised people not to do it given their economic circumstances. And I know he'll never lead one of my readers astray. And you know, I sell water filtration, because if you have to bug out, you better have some of that with you. And then gun accessories, you better have guns, because the rampaging hordes are going to start if there's an economic collapse, because FEMA says the average American family only has less than 72 hours worth of goods. And so I'm not going to run through all the products, but every product that's on my website, and this is true for most people in the Patriot Movement, I'm not unique in this, so I'm not holding myself above anybody else, but we sell things that we think people will need, and I only use people who I know personally and I've become friends with and I trust. And this is why, Doug, I do what I do. I have to offset some of my costs. Let's say that we go 5-6 years and the unimaginable in my mind happens and we don't have a collapse. You know, my son's going to be in college. I can't spend inordinate amounts of money, you know, spreading the word at the expense of my family. Right. I have to try to at least break even. And that's why I do what I do. You know, people go, oh, you're just trying to sell your food, your gold, your blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, because I'm trying to break even here. I'm trying not to take away from my family. And the first way to alienate your family is deprive your kids of their future because of your work here.
Yeah.
And that's why I do what I do. You know, and I've never talked about this publicly before, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to mention this. But there's not one product that I look at that is associated with the Common Sense Show that I'm not proud to be associated with, and it's not one product that I don't have some element of what they're offering.
And you know, something
is coming, and if you don't shop at the Common Sense Show, that's fine. God bless you. I'm not trying to coerce anybody to come to my site to buy anything, but buy something. Get ready. Do what you need to do. And you better have food, water, a way to protect it, and you better have some type of currency exchange that will be valuable to you when the smoke clears. And then, of course, you better have a Bible. Yeah. You better maintain, you know, like family social games, board games, I think will be popular. And I've written about these things, Doug, because people, you have to understand, when the Depression happened in 1929, it wasn't a standalone event. Now people have to live through this for 12 years. And you have to prepare to go through some very hard times with your family. So what will make things palatable for your kids? Games. You should think about family activities you could do that won't cost any money. People need to think, you need to realize that our way of life is about ready to change. You know, sociologists talk about there are five societal levels. And, you know, you have hunting and gathering and then pastoral and agriculture, industrial and post-industrial. We're at the end of an era. This system doesn't work. The credit swap derivatives debt is at least 16 times the entire GDP of the planet. We couldn't pay this off in the 50th century or the 500th century. We are going to have a reset at some point in time, and people need to realize that, and they need to plan accordingly. You know, the agricultural age primarily gave away to the industrial age, which gave away to the post-industrial age. Well, we're at that point right now where we're going to give way to something else. And that's what I think when we see a civil war or revolution, it's going to be fighting for who controls the next transition to what level that we're living at.
And do you think that what we're seeing right now with the, let's circle back around to, for example, what happened in Colorado, the overt, while it may be a law that was, and this is a big thing now, hey, we told you about this last August, we voted on this, so if you were just too slow to, you know, understand this, that's your problem, Trump team. And that also goes to Cruz saying, look at the political prowess of Ted Cruz. But do you think at the end of the day, Dave, that they're doing this so overtly to create this division between the conservatives and the progressives, or take your pick of sides?
I think they're just desperate. Let me give you an example. You don't have any money, but you need food, so you go into the grocery store with an overcoat, and you start to shoplift the things you need, but you're being very, very covert. Change the scenario. The money supply has collapsed, and everything's running out in the stores, and now it's out in the open. You come in with a weapon you can brandish, and you're carrying out whatever you can garner. And this is where I think the globalists are at. They're in the latter part. You know, the pretenses are off. The gloves are off. They're showing their hand. They're not trying to shoplift American society covertly. They're telling you right here what they're doing. I mean, who would have thought 20 years ago we'd have Republican officials tell us they're going to steal the election and you don't matter? That would never have happened.
Precisely.
20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Very, very good, very astute, very relevant observation. And it's only, you had mentioned, I think it was privately on a phone conversation to me, that this is going to take place again in other states. Didn't you say that to me? Or I can't, I'm trying to.
Oh, yeah,
I
the stealing the election was, and gosh, don't ask me to quote the states now, but
yeah.
I've read that, and I did this in passing because I, like I said, we go 100 miles an hour, but Colorado was stolen. They just decided, we're not going to have an election. We declare Cruz to be the winner, and it's not an election. And I've read now there's four other states, and I'm sure the listening audience can inform me as to who they are. But, you know, they need to keep Trump from the 1237. They're scared of New York and California.
Yes.
They really are.
In Pennsylvania.
Exactly. So they got to do what they got to do to stop him. But I don't think they can kill him because that'll bring another 20% to his side. And then they'll have a real problem. So that's why I keep coming back to this. I pray it's not true. False flag.
False flag.
That solves a lot of problems for him.
You know, on air, I'm not sure if we talked about this on air. Maybe we did. It seems like we both speak to so many people, so many sources,
and so much
information. It's overload. So forgive me if I'm asking about this. Did we talk about the type, potentially the type of event on air here, domestically? Did we mention?
I think there's two possibilities.
Okay.
And it's sometime down the road, if you have me back, I'll talk about what's going on in Central America. The fifth column forces are ready to strike, but that's more of a long-term issue. If the globalists figure they have to strike quickly with a false flag to interrupt the Trump momentum and to preserve their style of criminality post-November, they're going to move to a false flag. And my favorite candidate in this, and forgive me, folks, for thinking so much like Satan, but this is my old basketball coaching habit. When I would compete against another coach, I had to try to put myself in his mindset to think about how he was going to try to play and strategize against me. So I'm in that habit of thinking, what would make sense to me if I was David Rockefeller or Lindsey Graham or any of these ne'er-do-wells? And what makes sense to me is this, is that if I'm out of options and I can't stop Trump and the movement's growing, well, ISIS is here, we know they're here, so let's just fly a plane with explosives at the worst time into the convention. And I'll tell you, my idea today got a boost. Mm-hmm. When Jeb Bush announced that he was not going to the convention in Cleveland, what do we know about Georgie Bush, HW, and false flag attacks? And the Sun's no stranger to that either.
Oh, man, you know,
Now, I don't know, have any information. I have nothing. Let me just mention this, too. What's coming out tomorrow on the Common Sense Show? What's coming out tomorrow is I have two insider sources that are giving me information about the creation of debtors' prisons. And this is coming out of some of these meetings that have already been held, that government needs to preserve itself. The corporations and the banks are working with the government on this. And there's a proposal out there, and I've been told this is more than a proposal now, that if you've taken EBT, federal assistance, this, that, and the other, you're going to be required to pay it back. And if you can't pay it back, well, okay, we're going to give you so much time to work on paying certain percentage back over time. And if you can't, you go to a labor camp. And before people say, okay, Dave, stop with the conspiracy nonsense, let's go to Section 801 and 601 in Executive Order 13603, and I've already written about this on the Common Sense Show. They, under Obama's executive order, in which everything in the economy is controlled by the president, and you don't need an emergency, it's just based on a say-so, we have what he refers to as consultants. They talk about having a draft, and it was headed by the Secretary of Labor. And I go, Secretary of Labor? That should be Secretary of Defense. But then I look deeper into it. It's two drafts. One is military, but the other is civilian conscription. And in the language, and this is going to be printed again tomorrow on the Common Sense Show with a direct link to WhiteHouse.gov, in the language, they call people consultants, and consultants will not be paid, and they can be sent wherever you want to send them. So let's go back to my rumor. Not rumor, according to one of the sources I gave me that gave it to me, that if you can't pay your debts, you're now a consultant. It's under this executive order. You're going away to the camps.
Conscripted. Yeah.
It is debtors' prisons as a backdoor into FEMA prisons. And let me tell you why they'll do it. We all know that these people operate, and the globalists operate under Fabian socialism. If you don't help us, we don't want to keep you alive. And I think this is a way they're going to eliminate 20 to 30% of the bottom feeders.
Well, yeah, this is the, you know, we have to, in order to have a utopia and to accomplish the utopian dream, people are going to have to make sacrifices as individuals. Free labor is going to be a part of this.
I'm sorry, Joe and Dave, I just want to throw something in here to the mix. You know how Glenn Beck and how Glenn Beck is appearing to, well, he's not appearing to, he's elevating Cruz to this level of a deity. remember, Dave, you and I spoke about this before. Remember when he was not on his own, but he was with Fox, and he was talking about the Fabian socialists, the Overton, or the window? Okay.
Yeah.
I just find this amazing that we are seeing the objectives, the agenda, the playbook of the Fabian socialists to remake that. Remember that Fabian window, that window at the I can't remember what it was called, but
the Overton window.
That was the name of the book from Beck. But nonetheless, remember that window, and remember it was missing for a while, but remember his teachings about the Fabian socialists. And then all of a sudden we have this 180 he does, seemingly backing Cruz and adhering to, or at least, you know, advocating this Fabian socialist agenda. So I just thought it was worthy to bring up in this.
Right, you're right. They're using people like Glenn Beck to enhance Ted Cruz, to basically try to get people from the LDS Church to vote in bloc away from Donald Trump, and they're keeping Trump away from the 1237 superdelegate majority. Glenn Beck has jumped to the other side. Sorry, Glenn, you were a great champion for freedom when you first came on to Fox and you interviewed Larry Grathwall and how Obama got into office and
Van Jones, exactly,
and Cloward and Piven and Fabian socialism. Man, it was an adventure every night. He did more to wake my wife up than I did. It was incredible. I said, yeah, thank you very much, Glenn. And then he goes off on his own. He struggles financially, and you know what the hell, what they can do to you. Cut his internet traffic. You know how they can do that to you, too. And now I think he's joined the other side to stay in business. And that's how I see it. And I have friends who write for Glenn Beck, and I don't put Glenn Beck in my crosshairs because there's bigger targets to go after.
Right.
But anyone who follows him isn't really paying attention. Go back and see what he did 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago on Fox.
With the FEMA camp?
He was correct. Now he's a sellout.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and he's quoting from the Book of Mormon and using, you know, the Book of Mormon
fine.
And Mormonism.
Listen, I don't begrudge anyone their religion. You know, this is America. First Amendment, freedom of religion.
Well,
I don't have any problem with that whatsoever. Okay? It's not my religion, but that's okay. God will judge. It's not my place. But the way he's conducting himself, there's no FEMA camps. Excuse me. What about the legislation that's been out there? What about Obama's executive order 13603? You know, you get the
idea. What about the Hodges revelation of the Simon properties with the...
You remember that show on FEMA camps? He was supposed to do that morning. He went on Fox and Friends and talked it up and talked about some of the findings, how people were going to be astounded and, you know, tune in tonight to get how he thought they were fake and how he'd learned differently. And then once the show time came, he did a 180 and said, you know, they don't exist. That was the point. He was threatened cut ties with Fox. And why?
Will destroy you financially, or will kill your family. God knows what they told him, but you know, and really, I don't judge him too harshly because none of us have probably been in that situation, and who knows how any of us would react. But he's not to be listened to. That's one thing we can say. The other thing I want to mention, Doug, is that and tell your listening audience, we're pleased and privileged. We have a great show coming up here on Global Star on Sunday night from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. In the first hour, we have John Rappaport. We're going to talk about VaxEd. John Rappaport, cool, just tremendous journalist. But in the second 2 hours, we have another great journalist. His name just happens to have the same initials I do. Dave Hodges, Doug Hagman. He's in the second hours of the show, so I would encourage everyone to listen in. And we're going to continue this conversation and probably take it to a higher level because we'll be able to expand upon what we started tonight.
Man, I'll tell you something. I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when we can work together and we're working together. We're advancing the truth. Dave, we're at the end of our show, and I know, folks, I got to tell you, Dave wasn't feeling very well before he came on, and he toughed through this show, and I just have a lot of respect for him. I just want to say thanks, Dave, for all of the information.
to be associated with people like yourself and Joe and all the great people out there like Ted and Steve and so forth. I mean, there are so many great people in our movement, it's hard to believe that we're not winning at a greater level than we are. But keep the faith.
Pray
for Jesus' divine intervention and to give us strength to carry on the fight. Lift us, you know, like the wings of eagles, you know, to victory. That's what I hope happens for all of us.
David, thanks for your gift of time, your gracious gift of time. Thank you for what you do. Folks, support Dave Hodges. Please do that, thecommonsenseshow.com. And despite my stuttering, stammering, and whatever, he's asked me to come on the show this week. We'll do it. We're going to have a great time. Join Dave Hodges Sunday, The Common Sense Show, right here in Global Star Radio.
Guys, it's always a tremendous honor to be on your
show. God bless you, Dave.
Ted Brewer tomorrow. Ted Brewer tomorrow. Don't miss it. God bless everyone.
Have a good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.